It's funny because, like, for the for Locked On, they tell you, like, yeah, engage with your commenters. It's good for the community.
Yeah.
And then, like, I start engaging with them, and then I just become a person that I don't want to become. And I'm like, I can't do this.
Are they mean on YouTube? I haven't noticed many mean people on YouTube. I feel like YouTube's more real than
anything. It's always a mix, but I think right now, because of the nature of the show that I do is based off of the Browns, you get the crazy Shador fans. And so, like, if you say anything...
Yeah, but you're a Shador supporter. I'm a Shador supporter.
You're telling me.
Maybe that's why I'm liking YouTube so much these
days. You're preaching to the choir, JP. I know that I'm a Shador supporter, and I think he's the most talented quarterback on this roster. But for some reason, anytime I just say the phrase, like, he was a fifth-round pick because he quite literally was a fifth-round pick, people are like, you keep disparaging his name. Like, the people here in the comments, like, bashing me, and they think I'm a hater.
Maybe stop being a hater, and this will all go away.
Makes no sense to
me. You, maybe you really make it that you stand on Shador's side. Kind of like you did in the first little sentence.
I could use you as a guest appearance on the show. Just to come on and be like, Spencer is a Shador supporter. We have been in this camp together. We're the only two people at the station who have felt this way.
Why don't you give me, like, 20 minutes to just wax poetic and everything I love about Shador, and then we can just make that one roll.
Yeah, and I'll just echo you. I'll just be like, yeah, I agree with everything you said.
Another good point.
I've been saying that
for
weeks.
Another good point.
Yeah,
and then
we were on the same page.
They'll leave, and they'll just be like, boy, the two of them just made a lot of really good points. Did they not? I thought it was funny. One time I had, we had Chris in here, Fedor, and I was arguing with Fedor back and forth, and I looked at the comments on YouTube, because it was one of the first videos I think we'd put up of
his
Afternoon Drive
on
YouTube.
His comments are pretty bad.
Well, no, but it was great, because I was me just loving on Shador, basically, and Chris being just very not that way. And because they didn't know Chris, because when you go on YouTube, you get everyone, right? We'll get back to the Shador conversation we're having in a second, but they don't know everyone. So, like, for instance, if we do something for the station account here, everyone knows Chris's name and everyone knows that's Chris. Same way everyone knows that's me, and they know, you know, what I look like and everything like that for our station account. But on YouTube, even though it's our account, you get all these people from everywhere. So the insults hurled at Chris was really funny, but then they kept just saying, like, that guy. They'd be like, that guy with the beard is making a bad point. While that guy that's clean shaven, I like what he has to say. And it was just really funny to think of, because there's so many people. You just take yourself out of the bubble that is Cleveland, and there's so many people that have no awareness of me or Chris in any sort of capacity.
I do not want Fedor's comment section. He was on with Earl and I however many weeks ago, and that was, like, the first time he dropped that big bomb about, like, hey, you know, Darius is the thing you probably have to move if you want to improve the team. And, like, Earl and I had a lot of fun with it. We turned into a great conversation. But then, like, all these people, like, replying to Keith's video were like, this guy is probably not going to show his face around the locker room now that he made these comments. I was like, he's there every day. What are you talking about?
It's his job to be there.
Like, he talks to these guys in person. Like, he doesn't back down from his takes. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, it's Chris Fedor.
Anyway, we're on YouTube is the point. 92.3 The Fan. Go follow. Go like. Go yell at Spencer in the comments. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I get enough.
And you might yell about this video as... I just did, like, an Inception thing right there, where it's like, I'm going to talk about this video as then the video's not posted yet, but as if it's going to be.
You needed to look right in the camera when you said it.
Though. You up there. No, stop it. We're friends, right? We're friends. Yeah, we're friends. So anyway, so Shador, I'm fascinated by the idea that the amount of people that got turned off by Deshaun Watson helping him out and taking on this mentorship role. It's just between Shador or Dylan Gabriel. I don't care where you get good advice from. I don't care where you get a good lesson from. You telling me Deshaun can't teach them anything about being a quarterback? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. There just aren't that many people that have had the success. And I know it fell off for Deshaun, obviously. And you can say what you want about him in a personal level, and I won't disagree with much of it. But the point is, he knows a lot about the game of football. And even if he doesn't know a lot necessarily about the game of football, which I believe he does, he knows a lot about what it is to be a franchise quarterback, to be the person that has to go up to the podium after each game and be responsible for what happened during the game and being able to talk that out. All these little things that a lot of people don't even consider. And so I just think, turning away Deshaun in a moment where he wants to do something and give back in some way to the franchise that he has taken so much from financially and time-wise, I feel like, why don't we let him have a go at it?
I this is one of those instances where I think everyone is so emotional and one way or the other on, like, Deshaun Watson, who he is, all that, that, like, any little thing that comes up about him. We do this a lot in politics too, right? Like people get so entrenched in their side that like the second somebody on the other side does something that you think is like even small, very minimally controversial, like
analogies is a great way to limit the YouTube comments, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's keep moving towards that.
But no, what I mean is like, you know how it goes. Like the second they do something that's like even the smallest bit controversial, like not even really controversial, they're just like, they're ready to pounce and say like, I can't believe they did this. It's the same exact thing with Deshaun. Like the second Deshaun does anything, Deshaun walks down the street and, you know, looks at somebody the wrong way. And it's like, well, this guy, like it's just very hyperbolic. It's a very hyperbolic subject, very hyperbolic player. So I get it. But to me, I think people are making like a mountain out of a molehill here. Cause I feel the same way. Like there's a lot that can be learned from his experience as a quarterback, from the experiences of just like being responsible, like you said, for the wins and losses of a team and how you handle those pressures, how you go about your podium, you know, when you're at the podium, what you say in a post-game press conference setting, all kinds of stuff. And I do think like this is a way Deshaun's making himself useful right now while he's here. And I can accept that. I think that's fine. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. The other thing I'll say too is like, if you're worried about him influencing Shador Sanders to be like, I don't know, some terrible person, like I think Shador Sanders doesn't get enough credit for being more mature in terms of like the player that he is. I understand what the pushback here is going to be. It's going to be a bunch of people calling in and saying, you think Shador Sanders is mature when he's going 100 miles per hour on the highway? Like, okay, I'm fine. Like,
also, don't care.
Everybody is immature to some degree, but I think like from the way he carries himself,
speeding cannot be the measurement of maturity. By the way,
right? No, I agree because everybody pretty much does it. But from the way he carries himself, from the confidence he shows, from the way he already handles, I think those press conference settings, like he comes off as a very mature person, and I think that's all a byproduct of the world and the aura he grew up in as Deion Sanders' son. Like, he's already experienced these things. He is more mature than I think a lot of quarterbacks coming out of college because of the lifestyle that he had. And so I don't think that like potentially one year with Deshaun Watson where he's like trying to just like help you and give you advice and things like that is going to like ruin all that and throw that out the window. I also think too, like, he's openly talked about getting advice from Joe Flacco. Like,
oh no, so
it's all the quarterbacks. I'm glad you brought up Flacco. All these guys are helping each other.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm glad you brought up Flacco because I was going to use him in a way, and you're right in that Shador has mentioned a relationship with Joe and how they get along, but Joe is the one guy that in the preseason, or not preseason, but in minicamp was like, I'm not your role model, essentially. He did the Charles Barkley. Like, I'm not your role model. I'm not the one you have to look or get to look to for advice. Like, I'll help you if it's convenient and I'm around, but I'm not here to babysit and I'm not here to do everything that's associated with that. So if he's taking himself off the board there, I don't want Kenny Pickett being the one to teach Shador Sanders. Dylan Gabriel can't teach Shador Sanders because they're both rookies. Like, if Deshaun Watson's the only one that is a player that has the experience, that has the accolades attached to what happened in his career and the good that he was doing in the early parts of his career, well, okay. Then open up your brain and figure it out. Like let's go with this.
I think all these quarterbacks can offer something in the way of mentorship to some degree. And the one thing I'll say in Flacco is like, I don't think his overarching point, I think he gets lost in the sauce a little bit on what he said. I don't think it's that Flacco, to me, his point wasn't that like, He won't mentor anybody or he won't help other guys in the room, especially young guys. It was more so just that like he thinks that happens just kind of naturally by being in the room around each other. He's not going to go out of his way to do that though, because he's not like, he didn't get paid to come in here and just like, hey, you're here to mentor these young guys. He came in to try to win the starting job.
And during a practice, for instance, if they're using, you know, two different fields and you have two quarterbacks on one side and two quarterbacks on another, Shador can't look to Deshaun, or sorry, can't look to Joe and be like, so what happened on that play?
We can't really look to Deshaun either.
Joe's doing his own thing.
Deshaun's over in the weight room.
Well, Joe's doing his own thing though. You know what I mean? But like in this instance,
I get what you're saying. But yeah, I think there's something he can learn from all these quarterbacks. Even Kenny Pickett to a degree. Like, Kenny had a bad experience in Pittsburgh. He's had to deal with like going somewhere else and trying to rehabilitate his image.
I'm of the belief that you can learn something from just about anybody.
Yeah.
Even someone as lost as I believe Kenny Pickett is. But I who can offer more from a football standpoint and a teaching standpoint? I think Deshaun is
And Flacco. Flacco and Deshaun are the
same. Yeah, but again, we talked about the Flacco side of things. I'm not as convinced. I read it the same way you did. If teaching happens, it'll happen organically around Joe.
Right.
But Joe's not putting his arm around him and saying, hey, this is what I happen to see. Let's figure it out and let's diagnose it from here. Or, hey, here's a tip for when you go up against this or this or this. I just don't see that from Joe. Joe's dialed in on his own job, and that's fine. I don't begrudge him for that. 216-474-0092. Chris in Cleveland. What's up, Chris?
What's up, JP? Hey, how you fellas doing this evening?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
Chris, what's up?
Not too bad. I just don't want any setbacks. You know, for football reasons, the only reason I don't want Deshaun coaching him up or anything like that, look, this is Stefanski's offense. One, he didn't like Stefanski's offense. He didn't like being under center, and he held onto the ball too long. One of the things with Shadur, one of the nicks on Shadur was the fact that he holds onto the ball too long. A lot of that had to do with the offensive line he had. So as far as for football reasons, I don't think it's anything that he could teach him as far as on the field, because he didn't like Stefanski's offense anyway, and he didn't like two of the things that's necessary. I think one of the things you said, JP, is that he does get rid of the ball quicker, you know, as far as for leadership. So I just don't want Deshaun holding him back by teaching him things that's not good towards Stefanski's offense. That can hold him back some. That's all I'm thinking.
All right, I got you. And thanks, Chris. I appreciate you, man. Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, like, again, this goes – I don't want Deshaun and Shador to be best buddies and them holding hands side by side. And then, like, when Shador gets in a game, looking over to Deshaun to be like, was that right? Was that good? But I also think – opening your eyes and opening whatever you can be receptive to that Deshaun would offer up here and there isn't the end of the world either.
I guess I would understand it more too if it was like we heard stories about, like, well, hey, they're going out clubbing together and like doing all this stuff. But this, from all we can,
yeah, right,
all we can deem at this point is when they're at the practice facility and they're in the quarterback room and they're working on stuff individually or as a team or as a group, like whatever, when they're around each other in a football setting, Deshaun is kind of helping mentor him. And I don't have a problem with that. I think we're just making a mountain out of a molehill.
There's got to be value there when it comes to Deshaun. Like, and it might be looked at as a quasi-coach type role, but you're paying him $46 million. If you can get something like this that I actually do think is valuable, why am I going to turn that down and shut it down just because he didn't look good in a Browns uniform and comes with some questionable things elsewhere? Just doesn't make sense to me. 216-474-0092. We'll continue with your phone calls on this. If you're hanging, hang tight. And is there a world where Stefanski's seat is hotter than Andrew Berry's at the end of the season? Warren Sharp weighed in. We'll have what he said as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.